Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please?
One, two, three.
Hey. We're starting a revolution, a play revolution, a playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community. A place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live from upstairs studios on the phone with Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, while I was listening to the intro music, I you know, we talked about what the episode is going to be about and everything, and then I thought of something else. So I gotta get off my chest before we go any further. So this morning I woke up at 5:15-ish in the morning to a message that somebody had left on one of the podcast episode posts on Facebook that and I'm saying this with the tone that I felt it was typed with. Kind of hard to listen to with all the swearing. And my response was, well, that's why there's a stop button on the audio devices, so you can, you know, not listen. And the message I got back in a few minutes was, well, that's what I did. And I said, okay, well, then things worked out. The technology worked. You know not to listen to any more episodes. Have a great day. And to this person, I'd like to say, fine and dandy. You know, we list the show as explicit on iTunes, and if you listen to one episode and you don't like us or don't like the fact that we use adult language once in a while or have a cocktail while we're recording our show, then our show's not for you. And the fact that we've been doing this for just about 130 episodes means that enough people do like it that we feel it's worth doing. So, you know, to each their own and best wishes, but okay, I got that off my chest.
you feel better? Yeah, I had to. You actually got that moment of silence without me interrupting because I had no idea what you were going to talk about. So I felt like I got nothing. I don't even know where this is going to go. But you know what I will say to that? Because I agree 100% with that. And not only are there enough people who, quote unquote, might like it, but or it might not even be that. It might be that within the context of the experience, they're able to suspend perhaps what their own personal reaction is because, you know, in light of what they're experiencing at that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
You know, or, you know, my mom doesn't particularly like it when I swear, but, you know, that's kind of what I do. But the relationship that her and I have goes kind of above and beyond it, so she's willing to overlook it. You know what? I try and be aware of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's no big deal. If you don't like it, you don't like it. You know, and I love your comments about, push the stop button. Nobody's making you listen to it.
Yeah, and the fact that she, I don't know what she was wanting from her post. We're going to change the whole format of the show and because she disapproved. You know what I do when I see something on social media or the interwebs that I don't particularly care for?
What do you do, Jeff?
Scroll on to the next damn thing because there's more of it out there than we'll ever be able to consume. And so anyway, to our listeners who are still listening, even though we have a cocktail now and then, which by the way, right now I'm drinking, what am I drinking? Ginger beer and spiced rum, and it's scrumptious.
Ooh, scrumptious.
And thanks.
I just woke up a little bit, and I've been gone for about 10 days, so there's nothing in my house. So I didn't want to be the desperate person who's, drinking cooking sherry. So I'm actually not drinking today.
Oh, well, congratulations. And so we're six minutes into the show now. I guess it's time we get to a topic. Here's what happened the other day, Lisa. I'm grandbaby is having a three-year-old moment. Just turned three a couple weeks ago, and she's using this just snotty little voice with her grandma, with Tasha, and I, with the papa voice, that voice, I scolded her a little bit and told her, you don't need to be talking to people like that, and you need to tell Tutu, which is what she calls Tasha, you need to tell Tutu you're sorry. And then I caught myself from saying, why the hell am I telling her to say she's sorry? Because she's not sorry. And although she did it, and she did it with a voice that was a sincere, I think she was sorry because she'd calmed down then, but I don't believe in doing that, but it's something that was done to me through my whole childhood,
right,
and through something I did to too many kids during the beginnings of my career in this profession. And so that stuff gets hardwired into us, and then we find ourselves doing things that we know aren't necessarily best practice. And I just thought that's, there's different ways we could go with this. We could go into the whole, why do people think we need to make kids say I'm sorry, when we can go all kinds of way with this. Where do you want to go with this?
I think that the way, my first comment is twofold. Number one, and it's a theme we've brought up before, oh my God, you caught yourself in a moment of being inconsistent, right? Or we caught ourselves being a hypocrite. Oh my God. What if, or we're aware of the fact that what we just did goes against, one, what we're out there talking to people about, or two, what we claim to believe in. That's the first thing that I would jump in on. And then the second thing, and you alluded to it, which is that in moments of frustration, we will always go back to what we knew first. And that's what I think you did. You go, it doesn't matter how much work you've done, how further along the path you might be in your teaching style or your parenting style or grandparenting style, you probably were frustrated and you're going to default back to what was familiar. And that was a big lesson that I learned from, Bev and Michael and Tom Hunter used to talk about that all the time, is that, when you get frustrated, when you get tired, you go back to what you knew first. And for some of us, it was exactly what you just did. It's for me too. I was always told that kind of crap.
Yeah. And
clean play club, all those isms, all those things that we were told that we find ourselves subscribing to until we change our mind.
Yeah. And so it was really the second thought after I caught myself doing it was, podcast episode.
I know, it's like life is material.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't think we've ever got into this in any episodes before, have we? The whole I'm sorry thing and why some people feel it's important for kids to do that at an early age and say it when they don't mean it, and
I think it's the value thing. I think adults approach that with that adult lens as a person who is a part of a larger community, being aware of other people, being aware how our actions can impact another person. I think there's always, there's that undercurrent of a good intention, but developmentally, they don't get it at a certain age. That kind of empathy and that understanding and seeing as somebody is separate from myself, and that what I just did might not be acceptable, you know, to the other person. But, you know, I get it. I get why people want that, you know, want their kids to have that kind of awareness of other people. But, you know, the reality is that baby didn't do it on purpose to hurt Tasha's feelings. And if it was more of a same age thing, like, right, if Tasha was a 3-year-old at a program and they were together, you know, I like to think that I more would have coached Tasha as a child to see, you know, what is Tasha needing from what just happened? Maybe Tasha doesn't really care, you know, that she talked to her snotty. Maybe Tasha's going to go take her ball, you know, and go play somebody else. Kind of like the swearing comment. Don't like what I just got, but there's other choices over here. Going to kind of roll with it and get on with our day.
Yeah.
But it made me think of Heather Schumacher's book, because I think the saying sorry business is something that she talked about in one of her chapters in the Can't, you know, you don't have to share book.
Yeah,
I think saying sorry is one of them.
Yeah, and
Bev used to say that the most dangerous kid in the school is the kid who runs around smacking everybody, saying sorry, 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 right? Because I've been told that if I say this, it somehow excuses all of my behavior, and everybody knows that it doesn't. You know, you can tell when a kid really means it or not, or at least you feel we can tell.
Yeah,
if I do something and apologize to you for it.
It becomes a get out of trouble free card.
And
it's something that, you know, you start playing it when you're 3 and 4, and that's something you get you play into adolescence and into adulthood. And you know, partially it is forcing a child to say they're sorry when they're not sorry is helping them learn how to be deceitful and manipulate people.
Lie.
Yeah, lie. It really is. And we don't step back and see it that way. But, and you know, plenty of adults do it too. There are plenty of times I've said I'm sorry for stuff just to get the hell on with my life. And so I guess maybe it is a lesson they need to learn when they're 3. Yeah, you say you're sorry, and then you can
just move on.
Then you can go away from this person and get on with it. But I would like more for myself and for grandbaby and to reserve sorry for when you're really,
really
sorry.
Are.
Because then it has meaning, then it has value. Other stuff.
It's also, you know what, I'm going to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's fast. It's quick and fast, and adults have an understanding of what it means on a bigger picture. It takes a lot longer to get in there and actually have the dialogue with the what am I saying? Like the more a more subtle,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the larger conversation, not having been privy to, you know, what you're. You know, the actual example, but, you know, the longer conversation is probably something about the tone of voice that was being used, kind of appearing to be disrespectful. You know, that's a lot for a 3-year-old to understand, and I know you know that,
yeah.
right? But it's quicker, faster, and easier, and for most of the adults in the room, we get the intention behind what the adult said. Say, tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry.
Yeah,
what does that really mean?
Yeah,
you know,
go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, and it might not have been something that really you needed to be sorry for. It might just have been more of, you know, are you aware that when you did this, this is a potential consequence of that? This is how it might be being perceived. That's a big conversation, you know?
And where I did go is when I caught myself, I bit my lip and I thought, what am I doing? And where the conversation did go was, Rowan, she loves to like hang out with me when I'm working on power tool stuff, but she hates the noise. It hurts her ears.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts her ears, she says. And so where I went with this was, you know, when you use that tone of voice, when you use that angry voice with people, it hurts their ears and makes them not really be able to listen to you good. And so even if you're upset, maybe what you should do is maybe you should think about using a different voice, or maybe just not talking, or and we had a conversation about our voices and how we use different voices for different things, and our loud voices and our whisper voices and this kind of stuff. And then we just went on with our day, and I kind of defused my mistake, and we had a real conversation that was it ended up being nicer than me being scoldy and bossy and authoritative.
So was that, what's the real issue then? I mean, what, does it bother you? Were you, how do I say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ask what I'm really asking.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm trying to actually figure it out. I'm not censoring. I'm trying to actually figure out how to say it. Are you more, quote, upset as to how you responded to it, or were you upset by what was actually happening?
Yeah, I it really bothers me when children disrespect the, well, the mommy figure, and later in the day, Rowan had the same situation with her mama, and we handled it a different way there, and I just don't like anybody using that tone of voice with my sweetie pie, and so that's what it was for me. But also, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of power in the tone of voice we use. There's all kinds of stuff we communicate with that. And she's at an age where I think it's time to start having some understanding of the power that comes with that, I guess, is where I was at. I don't know. It's just, and maybe.
Because I know sometimes I'm learning how to express, like, some of that impassioned anger that often I have, but one of my tapes growing up was that you don't yell, right? That you don't. So, you know, I have internalized that as, you know, a 45-year-old woman. And so now I find if I'm in a situation where I am honestly, like, infuriated because I never had practice with that, I, like, you know, I'll turn into the screamer for a minute, you know? And it's like, well, that's not productive, but I don't have a middle ground yet. So instead of not using my voice at all, which is how I was raised,
uh-huh.
You know, I'm well aware of the fact that it might be overreacting, but it's allowing me to figure out what a more appropriate vocal expression of anger sounds like.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of personal disclosure for the podcast? Well, Lisa Murphy's learning how to be angry.
I want to hang out with that brr, Lisa sometime. I haven't seen her. That sounds like fun. No, I'm gonna
like a baby cobra. Baby cobra that can't control my poison.
When you're here in a couple of weeks, I'm gonna make that my mission is to push your buttons and see if I can bring that Lisa out. So beware. And so since that happened with her, I've been trying to pay attention to what I'm doing, and I find I've caught myself doing a couple other things that I'm not real happy with myself about too. She for her birthday, she got this fufu princess dress from somebody who wasn't me, and that she totally delights in. It's got the tiara and everything in it. She's just so darn cute in it. And she had it on the other day, and she said, "Papa, aren't I beautiful?" And I went with it, and I'm thinking, well, I don't want you to have that. I want you to be more than just pretty, but you are so damn cute in the thing too. And so I am being honest when I say, well, yeah, you are pretty beautiful, but I'd want it to be more because I know there's that whole body image and thing that especially young girls get caught up in. And so I don't know, maybe I need to.
But as an outsider looking in who's hung out with all of y'all, I can tell you objectively and honestly that you guys provide such a balance for her that she's going to grow up knowing that. She's going to grow up knowing the full range of self-expression, of a princess dress versus the, you know, overalls and the power tools you let her use. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would, as an outsider, say that's not all she's exposed to.
Yeah, so and
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I totally agree. It's just, I guess what bothers me is that I decided to pay attention to myself, and I guess I've found myself lacking a couple times, and it's no big deal. It's not like I'm freaking losing sleep over it, but I think we all, I just kind of even brought it up because I think we all go through when we're working on change in our personal lives or in our policies and practices, we do, like you say, we go in those times of stress, we go back to what we started with. And I think it's good for listeners to know that we are still going through that process ourselves, and that it's just a thing is why I thought it was episode worthy, that it's just, you know, a thing, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up too much about it when it happens. We just take a deep breath and maybe try to figure out what triggered it, and then try to be a little bit more mindful about it the next time.
I think also that when you subscribe to a very impassioned particular belief system, it's like you want to share as much of that as possible when you're faced with a situation that brings that up. You know, like the Prince of Stress and all of that. You know, like we you and I and a lot of our listeners, we know so much about how important it is for girls to be raised in an environment where they're not only celebrated for being pretty and being quiet and being beautiful and dressing nice, right? We know that. We're so plugged into making sure that we create environments that doesn't happen. But when you have that in front of you and it's like right there and you're like, oh, but I want you to know all this stuff, and this is an environment where everybody can be open, and you know, it's like you're like overfilling them because we have our finger on the pulse of this particular topic. And it can be hard to kind of, I think, temper it and dispense in small doses.
Yeah.
Because I also know that the actions definitely speak so much louder than those words, right? So to go back to both of your examples, you know, she's being raised in an environment where she hears you guys speaking to each other very respectfully. So, yeah, in the heat of that moment, you might have said, you know, I want you to say you're sorry or whatever, but that becomes like the exception and not the rule. And meanwhile, it's probably 14 other times during the course of that day, if not more, she saw that kind of appropriate, quote-unquote, respectful interchange of dialogue between all of you that are there under that roof, right?
Yeah.
And the same with the princess stuff, you know?
Yeah. So. The other thing about the I'm sorry thing, well, that was happening. Well, those words were spewing out of my mouth. I get this. Tasha's looking at Rowan, and she turns towards me with this, "What?" And her eyes kind of like, you know, the way they bulge out in the cartoons. Her eyes do that kind of thing, and then she screws them back in. You know, the way the cartoon characters screw their eyeballs back in, like light bulbs. She does that, and I'm kind of like oh with my eyes telling her, "Yeah, I know. It just came out of my mouth. I don't know where it came from either." And
it just fell out of my mouth.
Yeah.
That's when we say that. Oh my God, I can't believe I opened my mouth and that just fell out. I swore I would never do that. Yeah, well, guess what?
It happens. And so...
It happens.
And so anything else you want to throw in here to wrap this episode up?
No, I think it's good stuff.
I think, you know, go ahead.
Heather's book again, because, you know, well, both of the topics, I think, are vignettes and chapters within Heather Schumacher's book. So maybe... give that another little plug.
Yeah, that's Heather's book, and I'll actually see her in Ohio in a couple days. It's Okay Not to Share and Other Renegade Rules for, I can't remember the rest of it.
Parents,
but
or something,
yeah, parent,
right?
For a parent, yeah. Heather Schumacher, and she's awesome, and she's got another book coming out in the first part of 2016, and she's been on two episodes with us, and I'm sure we'll have her back again for a podcast, but that'd be a great book to check out when if you want to read more about the whole I'm sorry and the whole self-image kind of stuff that we talked about in this episode. To the lady that doesn't like the swearing in the episode, I'm sorry you didn't like it, but we're not going to change anything because that's kind of the format we decided on for this particular show. To listeners who thought I was some sort of early learning god and would never make such a mistake that I've mistakes like I've disclosed today, I apologize.
Are you sorry?
I'm really sorry if I've fallen off the pedestal you had me on. But shame on you for putting me there, because it's undeserved. To anybody else that I've wronged in my life in any way, I'm truly sorry.
Oh, get out. I don't believe it.
We'll be back next weekend. Next weekend? No, we'll be back
next week.
No, it can't. It's not even next week. We'll be back later this week. We got
Friday.
This whole format changing. We'll be back Friday with another episode. Hope you're tuning in. And oh, by the way, listeners, there are more of you lately, and you know, thanks for that, because downloads are going up, and that makes us happy. And yay, thank you. And keep it up, and we appreciate it, and we love hearing from you. Have a great day. See you Friday. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.
Chase the blues away.
I'm here,
and I'll be okay.